Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
What is up, man? I've decided, man. You know, Seth Rogen, he's kind of a douchebag.
He kind of is, man.
You see this report, like, oh, Marvel movies are for kids. Dude, this is the same motherfucker that used to want to buy up every comic property, try to make Preacher. Well, he did make Preacher. He's a producer in The Boys. Mm-hmm. And he's making a Ninja Turtles movie. He made a Green Hornet movie. And you're going to tell me you're complaining about Marvel movies? Like, dude, shut up. I don't understand why these celebrities sometimes think we give a shit about their opinions. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah, you know, it's a fad thing to do.
You know? Like, let us enjoy nice things. You know, my thing is when I see them say stuff like that, like, it strikes me as like maybe they're just a little jealous, because if they can't do it better or they're not part of it, then they want to complain about it.
Exactly. Mockery is the best form of flattery.
That's right. You know, I can deal with like Martin Scorsese making some comments, because, you know, he's a very well-respected director.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take too much wind into what he says. Whatever. It's his opinion, you know. But
yeah.
I guess they feel they need to say these things. And like I said, I think they're just jealous that their movies are still making tons of money. And while your movies aren't.
I have to agree.
Seth Rogen, just go make your stoner movies.
Yeah, go smoke weed.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and yeah.
And do, I mean, the Pineapple Express.
Like, what movie would he be remembered for right now? Like, let's say, God forbid, he was to leave this earth tomorrow. Well, who would remember Seth Rogen for what?
He was that fat, 40-year-old version.
That fat, chubby guy was in some movies. But even that, people are going to remember Steve Carell over him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
Jufro.
Yeah.
Yep.
No one's going to remember you, dude. You know? It's like, irritating. Which is strange, because I kind of like his Green Hornet movie. Yeah, it's a little corny and silly, but I kind of enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
I actually think I own a copy of it. You know, it's a fun movie. You know, ridiculous. You know, man. You know, made Knocked Up and thought he was the shit. He's pretty funny in Fanboys.
Fanboys?
I don't know. He has a Jar Jar Binks tattoo. Yeah, he has a Jar Jar Binks tattoo.
That's funny.
Like, oh, look, this guy's going to be the shit in episode one. man. Anyway, shut up, Seth Rogen. That's all I have to say. How are you this week, Matt?
I'm good, man. It's been friggin' cold and rainy, and there's ice, and, you know, shit. I can't get some of the shit that I order because, you know, it can't go over the ice, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's what you get when you're ordering multi boxes of lube.
This is the man. Can't they just bring lube through, like, from a drone? Can a drone just, like, carry a box of lube and drop it off at your doorstep? Yeah. It's the future, man.
Well, it's also the butt plugs in there too, probably.
Maybe so. Maybe the butt plugs were laying down.
And, yeah, it's been a rainy, dreary week, man. It's like, but it went by pretty quick, you know, for the most part. But yeah, rain and cold every day. But at least we're not like up north, Dallas and Austin and other parts of Texas that got severe ice. You know, I'm glad we didn't get that shit, man. Because these motherfuckers already don't know how to drive. And then you put ice on it. And then they really don't know how to drive. And it's like, nah, no thanks.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't wish that upon Houstonians. I think you're right. The mix of good drivers versus bad is just not proportional.
Yeah. Yeah, we had enough of that shit with the ice storm of 2021. It's like, let's stay away from that again if we can avoid it. Yeah. I know it'll probably happen again one day, but for now, let's not do that. You know, this is February when the weather's supposed to start slowly getting better towards March.
Yeah, slowly warming up.
The freeze of 2021 was in February, so.
It seems like every February we've got some kind of freeze going on.
Yeah, some weather event, you know.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I was thinking, you know, the Super Bowl is next weekend, the 12th, two days for Valentine's. You know, what happens in a few years as the calendar changes and now the Super Bowl is in mid-February? What happens when Valentine's and the Super Bowl collide on the same day?
Ooh.
There's going to be some pissed off wives.
That's a lot of dudes in the doghouse, man.
glad I don't have to deal with that shit.
Or you'll have like a collaboration of the two. You'll have like a, you know, wings in the shape of a heart with ranch dressing in the middle.
And I'm not even sure how I'm going to watch it, because I canceled my Sling because I wasn't really using it until Yellowstone comes back. But I'm thinking like make up an email and do a 1 week trial of Fubo or something just to watch the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
Might have to do that. You know,
you could,
but I mean, we're not the worst sports show, but real quick, who you got? I mean, I think I'm going with the Eagles for this.
I don't know, man. I don't think the Eagles have what it takes.
Really?
I think they've been going against easy teams this whole time.
Jalen Hurts is playing on fire, man. And I gotta go for the Houston boy, man. I gotta go for Jalen.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. I mean, he did come out of Channel View, so you do kind of have to give it to him. But I think Mahomes is the better quarterback, and I think he just kind of makes it happen. And they paid off the refs, so you know, there's that. So if you can't pay the refs, you know, conspiracy, you're just going to lose.
But along with the Super Bowl, man, coming up, which I'm sure I'll watch, we're going to get some trailers, man. We're expecting to get our first look at The Flash, Fast 10 for fans of that franchise. I guess you get the first look at that. So it should be exciting, you know, see what movie trailers we get next week. And so we'll see. There have been rumors of a new Indiana Jones trailer coming, but not confirmed. And a few other ones next week for the big summer movies, John Wick 4, of course, and some other ones. So we'll see what they unleash next week during the big commercial bonanza of Super Bowl. Was it 57, I think? I can't remember. I think so. Yeah, sounds right. But so that's next week. But along with that, man, this week I checked out a movie, man. I watched Elvis on HBO Max, and you know, I'm not like an Elvis guy or anything. You know, I know his tunes if they come on the radio. I can appreciate what he did for music and rock and roll and stuff. And, but man, the movie is entertaining as hell, man. It really is. Like when it's good, it's freaking really good. It wanders a bit in some parts, you know, but overall, man, it was a very entertaining film. Austin Butler is fantastic. I can see why he was nominated for Best Actor. He's a really good in it as Elvis Presley. And, you know, it's directed by Baz Luhrmann, who, you know, made Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet. And, you know, and he's his style isn't for everybody. I don't like everything he does. I didn't like his Great Gatsby movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. I turned it off halfway through. So I don't always like his movies. But this one, man, I really, really enjoy quite a bit. It's a well-done biopic about Elvis Presley. And it's long, though. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes. But it flowed quick. You know, it goes by fast.
I watched the first hour, and I was like, "Oh, this is weird." With like the, you know, when he goes into the tent and finds the church, like the origin story.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's and a then Baz Luhrmann movie. It's always gonna be a little weird.
Shaking, yeah. And I'm like, "There's too much shaking in here." You know, I was like, "What? Why?" I know he's all shook up. Damn it, you know, I get it, but why is there all this shaking? And then he's like doing the wiggle, and the girls are like, ah! And I'm like, "Oh my god, dude, this!" You know,
girls are basically creaming themselves. Yeah,
yeah. So. I was like, you know, I thought it was kind of funny, but it was like, I was like, man, this is you know, not the kind of biopic I'm used to watching.
No, and I think that's what makes it work, though. Really, is not your standard. It's a little more exciting, a little more. I don't want to say action packed because it's not an action movie, but it has like this. It has a rhythm to it. If that's cliche to say,
it does have a rhythm, and it has like some new age stuff. The Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog cover that's in it. But I thought it was weird because it took you out of like the 50s, you know,
right,
or 60s.
That's what I said. The movie has some moments where it wanders and it's not perfect. But when it's good, it's really good. And I thought that was what was cool about it. I can see why it was nominated for Best Picture and got some Oscar nominations, because I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. But I can see why it deserved a nomination, because there's moments where it's really good. And people talk about Tom Hanks and his acting isn't very good. It didn't bother me. I mean, I feel like it was the way they asked Hanks to play the role. I think it's just so different for Tom Hanks that people were caught off guard by it. You know,
yeah.
It's not a typical Tom Hanks performance, but it's fine. It is what it is. In fact, I was reading that a lot of Elvis experts say that he's Tom Parker's pretty close to the real Tom Parker. Hey, if that's the case, then it is what it is, you know.
Then he did his job.
But Austin Butler's a star of the show. He's really good in it. You know, apparently he's already been doing some lobbying and possibly playing. You know, people have been talking about him as Wolverine and other things. So, you know, this kid could be the next hot young actor in Hollywood. And it shows he's really good in the movie. But they said he worked so hard on the accent that he's been having trouble getting rid of the accent. He's still talking like Elvis some, even a year later.
That's what happened to Nicolas Cage.
When Nicolas Cage, that's why he talks like this.
but an entertaining flick, man. You should try to finish it. I think you'll enjoy it. It's good.
I'll have to finish it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. So I watched that this week, and it was good, man. I liked it. And I think the only thing I really watched was a new episode of The Last of Us, which I know you watched too. And you know, it took people. I don't want to use the word surprise. I think the people that played the game, maybe it took them by surprise, because in the game, we're getting the story of Bill and Frank from the game. And in the game, Bill is knows Joel for a while, and Joel's going to him to get this car battery. And in the game, a series of events occur where Joel gets hanging upside down and has to fight some clickers. Then Bill tells him, well, there's a battery in the school. So they go to the school, and they have this huge fight with the clickers and a bloater, which is a giant infected human. And it's really action-packed and exciting. And then they get the battery and they go on their way, and Bill, you know, goes on his way, and Frank in the game is already dead. And he basically, they allude that Bill and Frank had a relationship, and Frank leaves a letter saying he's just tired of living like this. And it's revealed that he might've been infected and hangs himself in the game. So people were kind of expecting that story in the episode, but what we got was our first real deviation from the game. And so they tell a story where Bill is a survivalist, and he's holed up in his little small community after the military makes everyone else leave the community. Bill's hunkered down in his bunker and waits till they all leave. And he basically turns it into his own little mini Fort Knox. And he's very quiet for several years until Frank falls into one of his traps. And Bill at first tells him to go away, but kind of has a change of heart, and he allows Frank to come into the community with him. And so essentially we get very little Joel and Ellie in this. We know Joel and Ellie are headed towards Bill's compound to get some help, but that's about all we know at this point. And basically we get an hour long story about Bill and Frank's relationship. And it turns out that they do have a heterosexual relationship, and it turns into a love story and a quite tragic one at the end of it, as Frank is apparently dying from some illness. You can make assumptions that it's cancer or something like that. And he wants to die on his own terms, and he wants Bill to help him, but instead Bill kind of turns on him, and they both die on their own terms as they commit a joint suicide. And then Joel and Ellie find them, and they get the car battery. So Bill still completed his job that he was to do, and that was to help Joel get this car battery. But it's all told through a love story that critically was quite praised by a lot of critics for being a gay romance told on a major network television show, which is still at times taboo, you know, to a lot of people, even though it's pretty normal now for the times we live in. And it was just not what people expected. My initial reaction on the episode was like, okay, that's not what I expected, just like I said. But I can appreciate the story it told. I was like, you know, okay, it's fine. I can respect it. Do I think that the story could have moved forward by telling more closer to the game? Yeah, I do. But the fact that I can live with it is the fact that Neil Druckmann, who created The Last of Us, helped write the story, and he's helping guide the show, and he's mentioned that he's wanted to tell some stories that he couldn't quite do in the game, but he can expand on things. And so I kind of like, if Neil is doing it, okay, I can accept his story changes, since it is kind of his baby, so to speak, since he created The Last of Us. But I do think it was an interesting and risky move to make on a show. But overall, it's praise. It's work. I mean, you're going to have these, you know, people out there that are homophobic or like, oh, I'm not going to watch the show anymore because of this, which is ridiculous. You know, you're keeping yourself from enjoying a good show. And
you're not going to get two of those back to back.
No, No,
you may have been. Yeah.
And you know, I just thought it was a not what I expected take, but you know, it's fine. It's what it is. You know, it told a good story. It honestly was a really well-told story. It just didn't feel like a Last of Us episode from a certain point of view, but
it didn't to me.
But it also, I guess, is showing that in this cruel, cruel world where the entire, you know, most of the planet is dying from this fungus, that, you know, two people can still have a normalcy and find love in this horrible world. And I think if you look at it from that perspective, it's it can be quite a beautiful story to tell, you know, and that's some of my thoughts on it.
Yeah. I was excited at first because Offerman, I, you know, associate with like Ron Swanson, you know, the man who loves a nice steak, which he does. I feel like he's very much like some of the characters he's played in like some other movies and TV shows.
One thing though, Nick Offerman and Murray Burnett are really good in the show on Last of Us. That is one thing I'll give him credit. They sold the story.
Great.
Sold the story. Yeah.
But it's like, I'm like, oh, I see all these guns and I'm like, oh, we're going to have like some, you know, some zombies are going to die. And we're going to see some shooting. And instead we got some sword fighting that I wasn't expecting and some steak eating and red wine drinking and piano playing while singing sad love songs. And I was like, this isn't exactly what I expected. I watched it.
And that's why it's divided fans, because it's subverted expectations, just like a very famous movie from a few years ago that we won't talk about. And you know, and then I've been letting Michael watch the show because, you know, he played the games. He's old enough to watch. And like, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, do you understand what's going on, right? You're okay? You know, and he's like, you know, because kids, you still sometimes have to explain those things. And he's like, no, Dad, I understand, you know. And I was just like, wow, I didn't expect this. I'm watching with my son, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Especially when they're taking the towel off, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? This is getting
and really then he's weird. Like, I'm not a whore. And I'm like, oh, come on. What the fuck is this dialogue? Come on, man. just get it over with already. You don't have to dance around it and stuff. But no, I was like just surprised at how drawn out it was. And I'm like, there's going to be some fighting, right? And there was some fighting, but he's like, I want to paint up the boutique. And he's like, oh, my resources. Like, no, not that kind of fighting. Damn it. It's some zombie fighting.
Well, there was when the Raiders invade the town and Bill gets shot,
I thought he was going to die there,
which alludes to future conflicts because, you know, obviously, I mean, people play the game know that sometimes your worst enemy isn't necessarily the infected. It could be other people in a world.
Other like people. This, you know? Oh yeah. That's always cool when they touch on that. And that's something like Walking Dead season 2, whenever they go into town and they run into other humans and they're like, well, where are you held up at? You got a place to stay, you know? And they like try and shoot them. They get into a shootout because they want what they have. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like you said, sometimes the zombies aren't your biggest threat. Sometimes it's people. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, it's it was a different, interesting take on that type of story, and it's fine, you know, if two people are happy and they want to love each other, you know, it's okay, and those stories are important to tell in today's society, and people want to use the term woke and things like that, and I don't think it made The Last of Us woke or anything. It was just trying to tell a good story, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not what you expected it to be, but I think it's okay. And I think this week, from the looks of the trailer, we'll get to some action with Joel and Ellie as they continue their quest to get Ellie to safely to the Fireflies.
Yarp, as Long would say.
anything else that you checked out this week?
Megan. I saw Megan. I bought it. Because
you're so impulsive and buy these movies when you know they're going to go streaming in 45 days,
dude, they probably will. I wouldn't be surprised if I see it streaming in like a week.
Just like your Violent Night that you bought. Now it's on Peacock.
Oh my God. I was pissed at that. I was like, really already? Stop Peacock? Doing it,
man. Be patient.
Yeah. if I find at least half the time, if I would have waited another week or two, I could have watched it free.
I want to see the Fablemans. Yeah. I'm a big Spielberg fan. No, I can wait. It'll be streaming somewhere soon.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was, as you expected, a, you know, robot gone bad, you know, Ex Machina meets Chucky, you know, but as like a protective doll, you know, basically, as you could tell by the trailer, it's about a doll that's super protective
really of silly its owner.
Yeah. It's predictable. I enjoyed it. I almost feel like it's a one and done kind of thing, but I feel like it's such a good deal when you have multiple people watching it, that, you know, you spend $25, it's not the worst thing. Cause you know, you go to the theater, you're going to spend more than that on popcorn and soda and stuff. So if I've got multiple people,
if you choose not to.
Yeah, I guess if you choose not to, but I'm like, it's okay. I did take advantage of some Vudu deals, and I did buy The Sixth Sense because I like that movie, and I didn't realize I didn't own it. And I had my sons watch it because I'm like, you gotta watch this movie. It's, you know, I feel like it's my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie because of the twist. And, you know, because of, you know, I feel like Haley Joel Osment is such a good child actor. And I was like thinking to myself, I said, man, is he like one of the best child actors as far as movies go of all time? You know, I think he's up there with Edward Furlong, you know, as far as like a child actor is concerned, because Edward Furlong was a child in Terminator 2. And he was like at the time,
but he's not considered a good actor.
Well, overall, child actor, yes. You know, adult actor, no. Yeah. But that's the thing. Haley Joel Osment as a kid, you know, he's got notoriety. As an adult, oh, yeah, isn't that the kid from The Sixth Sense? You know, I saw him in he was in The Boys.
He was in the Entourage movie.
Entourage.
Yeah, they appeared in an episode of The Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does these weird bit parts now. He's fat and bearded.
He is. He's very fat and bearded. You can tell he's still got that face. He's got that little squinchy, slanted eye kind of face. But yeah, I love that movie, man. And I was going to try to download the Dead Space remake, but I didn't get the chance. So maybe next week. Long asked that I try and check it out, or suggest that I check it out, and I just didn't get the chance to check it out.
Long has no say.
He has no say.
Well, that said, man, it's been a big news week.
Yeah.
As far as the new DC studios announced their first projects from James Gunn and his co-CEO. I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head. First, the bad news is we have to wait till 2025 for the first film. So almost 2 years, over 2 years, because it's July 2025. Wow. The good news is they have a plan for chapter one. Apparently this 10-year plan is going to be only two chapters, which is kind of similar to Marvel. I think Marvel was three phases for the first 10 years. So, you know, kind of similar. Now, some of the things they announced were a bit of a surprise to me. They're going to kick it off with a new Superman movie called Superman Legacy in July of 2025. Mm-hmm. And it's going to tell a story of Superman dealing with his alien self, dealing with also being a human. And I don't know. I mean, none of this stuff has me super excited. To me, I love DC. I mean, I lean towards DC a little bit more than I do Marvel at times, just because of Batman and Green Lantern and stuff. But these movies they announced just don't have me pumped right now. Because people complain about Superman Returns being a mopey Superman movie. Now you're going to tell people you're making a mopey Superman movie?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like to me. Then they announced the Batman movie is going to be called The Brave and the Bold. And it's going to have Robin in it, and it's going to be Damian Robin, which that has me a bit excited because Damian is awesome.
Yeah.
But when I think Brave and the Bold, I think of like cartoons. Like, is this a cartoon universe? Yeah. You know, and he says it's going to be in the style of Brave and the Bold, where you'll see Batman and Robin teaming up with other heroes. So I wonder who they'll be. Interesting. They announced a Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow movie, which we don't know yet. Is it going to be the Supergirl that's in The Flash? Is she going to be Supergirl in this movie? Then they announced an Authority movie, which that's interesting, because Authority is a very popular comic book. Then a Swamp Thing movie, which Swamp Thing has potential if done right. And then they announced 5 TV shows. Creature Commandos, which is an animated movie. Waller, which is based on Amanda Waller. I don't know. I'm getting a little tired of Suicide Squad. It's like, can we move on past that? You know, that's just my thought. Lanterns, obviously a Green Lantern TV show. A Booster Gold TV show. And Paradise Lost. These were the first 10 things they announced in James Gunn's DC Studios universe. They also announced that they're not ruling out actors coming back. In fact, The Flash, just as I predicted, is going to kind of be a kickoff to this new DC universe. It's going to reset things. They already said that. And Shazam, Fury of Gods, is leading into The Flash. Mm-hmm. And then The Flash will lead directly into Aquaman. And then Aquaman, where it leads off, will lead into Superman Legacy. So hopefully that's true. And they're not doing that just to sell these films, because everyone's wondering, what's the point in seeing these DC movies if you're going to just rewrite everything?
Yeah.
They're saying they tie in to things. So I guess that's good news. And they're not ruling out Ezra Miller or Jason Momoa or Zachary Levi all, you know, coming back in roles in the future with this new DC universe. So, so James Gunn basically says everyone is still on the table except Henry Cavill, just because the way their Superman is not going to, it's going to be younger and be a different Superman. And Gunn openly admitted that he felt that the previous regime, basically, he said it, they fucked Henry Cavill over. And Gunn, you know, but my thing is that, like, if you knew that, Gunn, why couldn't you have still arranged things around Henry Cavill, right? You know?
Yeah.
If that was the case. And along with this, they also announced that the Batman Part 2 will be directed by Matt Reeves and come out in October 2025. And it's going to fall under a new banner called DC Elseworlds, just like the comics. Along with the new Joker movie and the Blue Beetle movie, it's coming out later this year. They're going to be under DC Elseworlds. And the Penguin TV series with Colin Farrell is still happening. It's going to be 8 episodes, Colin Farrell revealed, and it should start shooting soon. And it's going to be a direct bridge between the Batman and the Batman Part 2. But I think it's also going to be designed that you don't have to watch it, you know, just like anything. Because, you know, they don't always ask these people to watch everything. I don't know. I guess I'm hopefully optimistic about these DC announcements. I think it is good that they have a plan in place, even if I'm not super excited about the plan they announced. Also, they said chapter one is called Gods and Monsters. I wish it wasn't 2 years away. It feels like, because we're only in February, right? And they announced this a few days ago, or late January. It feels like you could have the first movie out sometime next year if you start shooting soon. So, you know, the delay is kind of strange to me, but what are some of your thoughts when you heard all this stuff this week?
I don't know. It wasn't what I was expecting as far as like the movies he was going to release. I was expecting
a little bit more mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know, Batman, the Brave and the Bold. I agree with you. It kind of, you know, I think you mentioned it. It sounds cartoony, and it sounds cartoony to me. So I'm a little underwhelmed. There's a couple things in there that I'm like, all right, let's see how that turns out.
I'm excited for the Green Lantern TV show.
Yeah, I was hoping to see like Peacemaker season 2. I was hoping to see something like that.
Right, which I thought Gunn even confirmed he was writing it. So, you know, what happened to that? Yeah.
It's like if we're projecting all the way out for like another 2.5 years, you know, why aren't we, you know, putting out Peacemaker season 2? I don't know. Right. Maybe it's because we had certain superheroes make a cameo at the end. Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see how all this turns out.
Yeah. You know, he did. It will be a different Batman in this universe. But he also ruled out. He also said that Ben Affleck is interested in directing one of these films. Maybe we'll get Affleck finally direct his Batman film. Maybe he can do Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
James Mangold is already circling and rumors to be in talks to direct the Swamp Thing film, which that would be good. And James Gunn has not said he's directing the Superman Legacy movie, just writing it. But I'm starting to think it's going to be Gunn directing this, you know? to kick it all off. So we'll see, man. I hope it pans out. I think it's good that they have a plan and stop trying to catch Marvel and everything, because at this point, there's no reason for that. And there's definitely enough room out there for two huge comic book universes on the big screen. So we'll see. And another interesting note, too, that you have to read some of these interviews, that Gunn did say that their two chapters will tell a complete story. He says, we're not going to leave so many things open where we feel we have to go into a chapter three and people are required to watch everything. Now, he did say that. I mean, he goes, I'm not saying there isn't a chapter three, because there definitely will be a chapter three. But he goes, we want people to know that our first 10 years are going to be a complete story. So you imagine, man, this is 2025 and it's 10 years from chapter one. So that's going to be 2035. Shit, wow. I'm going to be old.
Dude, yeah. Let's
see how far this all gets. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm mostly excited about the Batman part two. I can't wait to see what Matt Reeves does. I mean, I'm more excited about that than anything. I wish it wasn't 2 years away. And, you know, release dates can always get shifted. You know, maybe they start shooting Batman part two and it comes out sooner, which rarely happens. Usually they come out later, if anything.
Yeah.
I was hoping not have to wait 3 years in between Matt Reeves' Batman sequels. But, you know, because I'm a huge fan of that film, and I can't wait to see where he goes with part two.
I think we got to get Iceman, right?
You mean Mr. Freeze?
Yeah, Iceman, you know.
Iceman is an X-Men character.
Sorry. It's my bad.
Just messing with our ebb and flow, man.
My bad, dude. You know, but like the Mr. Freeze that we see in Arkham Knight, you know, Arkham Asylum or something like that. You know, that style.
The real Mr. Freeze.
The real Arnold. Mr. Freeze. Even though Arnold is like, you know, the greatest Mr. Freeze that has ever graced the movies. He's basically
been only the second one ever on screen.
Yeah.
In the 1960s show, I think he only appeared in like one or two episodes.
Chill.
And the only other bit of news is May 4th. Man, did you watch Star Wars Visions? The first season? I watched a few episodes.
With Count Dooku before he was Count Dooku and all of that. Yeah, I like that.
Not the Tales of the Jedi, the anime stuff.
And, never mind. Maybe I just saw Tales of the Jedi.
But the Star Wars Visions was the anime stuff. And they're going to do a season two, and it's going to be out on May 4th.
Of course.
With a bunch of animation studios doing that. And then they announced more Star Wars news. The sequel to Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor, got delayed about 6 weeks, so it's not going to come out till late April now for people that were waiting for the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to come out a little bit late. That's all the news, man. There was so much DC news to cover that there wasn't a whole lot more to talk about. But at the end of the show, we'll have a little DC surprise about what movie we're doing next week. But for now, man, let's talk this week's featured film. And this is a movie that came out about, 12 years after the part two came out. And, you know, part of the reasons it took so long to make Terminator 3 is it was in developmental hell. Cameron had not retained the rights. So the rights jumped around to different studios. Then when the studio did get the rights, they did go to Cameron to do it. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I made Titanic at this point. I made the number one movie of all time. You know, I don't need to do that. And people also don't know it's at the time Cameron was starting to develop Avatar as early as 2002. And he was also doing his deep sea documentaries and stuff. And he just wasn't really interested in making another Terminator film. And so Arnold got asked by the studio to reprise his role. And Arnold initially turned it down. And he went and talked to James. And James is like, get the fuck out of here, man. Go make the money.
Take the money, baby. Take
the money, man.
Charge the shit out of him.
Yeah. So Arnold's like, okay, I'll make the movie, you know. And
and man, they paid his ass.
Yeah, big time.
They paid him.
Just paycheck, but royalties and box office.
$29.2 million.
Which
was a record at the time.
Yes. Well, I read somewhere that they approximate his total take on this movie might have been upwards of 60 to 80 million total.
Yeah.
Time profits.
Which is like what freaking Robert Downey Jr. made for Endgame, which is like freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's in 2003.
And so, of course, we are talking 2002. Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines. And to summarize this, basically it tells us to, it's kind of a weird movie to summarize, because it's like, you know, part two, they send the T-1000 back to kill John Connor. So this time they send another Terminator to kill John Connor and his lieutenants. So there's a lot of rehash going on. I think it's the biggest issue with this movie. And so basically,
he couldn't be located. So yeah, they go after his.
Yeah, they couldn't be located. So they're going after his lieutenants. So they send another advanced Terminator, the TX, which is actually pretty badass and pretty hot.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah. And played by Christine Loken. And then they send AT-1800 back in the form of Arnold to be his protector again.
Actually, the T-850. But they don't specify.
Yeah. And so basically, you kind of. You have a movie that was facing an uphill battle from the beginning to follow the classic Terminator 2 Judgment Day. This movie is one of those movies that had so much, I wouldn't say hype behind it, but so much expectations that no matter what it did, unless James Cameron directed it, it was never going to come close to Terminator 2. And that's just a fact. So it had that to battle. Then its biggest issue is introduces a new Terminator with some new technology. But the story is so rehashed over the course of the film of things we've already seen that it. I find myself rewatching this week hard to really stay focused at times on it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, been there, done that. And then you have Nick Stahl cast as John Connor, he's okay. But then you have Claire Danes as his lieutenant or his future wife who's, man, she looks like she's reading cue cards the entire film. Yeah. She's not. Well,
she was good. Banging the director, wasn't she? And then that's why she got cast.
She might have been. Who knows?
Yeah.
And she's just not very good. It's almost like she showed up and like, oh, I have to read a script and just threw in some lines.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Where this movie does well is in the action sequences. It does have some good action sequences, has some good fights. Yeah. Arnold is Arnold in it. Christina Loken is good in it. It does have some kind of funny one-liners here and there. I think it's pretty funny where Terminator, where he walks into the gay bar at the beginning.
Yo, dude, that's pretty like, hilarious.
Your boots and your hot new clothes. He's like, not yet, big boy. Or whatever.
Yeah. Wait your turn.
Yeah. And then like Christina Loken, her Terminator, she gets pulled over by the cop and she makes her boobs bigger to try to, you know, sway the cop. So it has some little funny moments like that.
What's funny is like whenever they were trying to get the prop to expand to make it look like her boobs were expanding, the inflation tool kept like screwing up. So how funny would it be to try and like practice that scene and that, you know, that one boob makes the sound of a balloon that you just let go and just sinks down and the other one's like, ah, you know, yeah, but apparently that happened quite a few times. They were trying to get that scene right where she's expanding her breasts. When I watched the movie, I mistook her from Alyssa Milano. Cause she just looks like Alyssa Milano right there. Like, and then it's lighter, you know, in the dark, she looks like Alyssa Milano. Then it brightens up. The movie brightens up and she looks like Christina Loken.
Oh, so in the dark part, you were just looking at her butt.
Yeah.
So, oh, it looks like Alyssa Milano's ass.
Yeah, it is.
interesting is Edward Furlong was originally going to reprise his role as John Connor's movie, but he couldn't stay off drugs. So they cast Nick Stahl in the. It's funny that Nick Stahl years later would have issues. You know, remember he disappeared a couple years ago and they couldn't find him?
Yeah.
So stop playing John Connor. Well, unless you're Christian Bale, he still had success.
You know? Yeah. They should have just went with Christian Bale from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, where was then. He in 02? Where was he?
Equilibrium came out in 2002.
Oh, yeah, so man.
Christian Bale, you know.
He was busy.
Equilibrium's a better movie than this, so that's okay.
I have to agree.
Man, you know, I remember seeing this in theaters, and I just remember the action sequences from it. I don't remember a lot of the story, and like I said, rewatching this week, I realized, like, how much it just continues to rehash different narratives from part two. And then, you know, we haven't covered Salvation yet, but then they go and they make Terminator Salvation, which tried to tell the story of the war, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And then people complained about that. You know, it's like the Terminator fan base is you know, people talk about different fan bases that are negative, but the Terminator fan base is pretty hard to please too. It's like Terminator 2 is such a classic and so good that anything that came after that, people just ultimately hated on. And like this movie deserves some hate, but I don't think Terminator 3 is terrible. You know, it's got some enjoyable stuff. It just, it's a bit too much of a rehash at times. It's, I really like the Terminator TX. I think it's, she's awesome. I think it's really cool. I like the, the getting to see the machines rise and how Skynet became self-aware and became a virus onto itself and took everything over. I thought that was, I thought there's really, there's really cool concepts in this.
Made it look like there was a virus attacking the U.S. security network, and really it was Skynet making it look that way so that they would eventually get control.
Yeah. Yeah. There's cool concepts in this. There's the, I thought the one part that did make me laugh is when, whenever the T-850, as you say it is reprogrammed by the TX and he's coming after them as they're trying to get into the plane to get out there to go to the bunker. And he starts smashing the car to turn himself off. And Arnold's face, his eyes get really big and it looks really ridiculous. I started laughing out loud. I'm like, why does he look so stupid doing this?
Kind of like one of those old energy drink commercials that he used to do.
Yeah. You know, and of course they get away and they go to this bunker. It turns out to be a nuclear fallout bunker so that they could survive and be there because Judgment Day, they did stop Judgment Day in part two, but Judgment Day was simply delayed as Skynet continued to rework itself into this new future and the nuclear war still happens and the machines take over. You know, how do you, I love Terminator 2 and I know you do too, but how do you, I think the same way I do, this was just a film that no matter what it did, it wasn't going to live up to part two.
Of course. I mean, you can't follow, you know, the, you know, one of the top best sequels ever, you know, and follow it with anything, you know, especially a Cameron-less movie. The only, I think it would have been better if Ridley Scott had indeed agreed to direct it. There was that possibility. And I think Ridley Scott could have done a better job. But like you said, it wasn't going to be Terminator 2, you know, part two, you know, or something like that. You know, you just can't live up to that legacy. But, you know, I just wish it wasn't as cardboard, as wooden in some parts. Stahl is, I guess, okay. He's better than, you know, Claire Danes. Arnold, is, like you said, is great. You know, he's, you know, he worked out really hard for about 6 months, 3 hours a day, got into the exact same shape.
Yeah, was
pound for pound, size for size that he was in T2. You know, he was 54. He's 54 years old, and he still was able to pull that off. You know, he worked really hard, and it shows. And I love that they got the shrink to come back. Yeah. That was cool.
His last live role. He still does voice work, but
yeah.
You know, strangely, this movie is relatively successful. It made $150 million in the U.S., $433 worldwide, so it made its money back. So at the time, Terminator 3 was still a very viable franchise, but the reason we never got a direct sequel to this again was rights. Rights started getting tied up, and then a different studio got the rights, and then that's why they made Terminator Salvation. And as far as Terminator movies go, though, this is still, I think it's better. It's definitely better than Genesis.
100%.
Genesis is a crap fest. I don't think it's better than Dark Fate. I think Dark Fate's pretty good.
Yeah, Dark Fate's better.
I actually really enjoyed that one. I don't know if this is better than Salvation. I think I still prefer Salvation even over Terminator 3 Rise of Machines because I just really like the concepts in Salvation. And I always wanted a future war movie. And from the moment I saw Terminator 1 and Terminator 2, I was like, man, I want to see a movie that takes place in the future. And that's what Salvation gave us. And
that's the coolest part.
And Salvation has some freaking great action sequences and stuff in it.
It's definitely 2-1. Dark Fate, Salvation, 3, and then Genesis.
Yeah, and then what's funny is, if I remember right, didn't Salvation kind of ignore things that happen in Terminator 3. Like, there's no lieutenants or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a Catherine Brewster.
Right. I can't remember. Well, then there were, and the rumors were the sequel to Salvation was going to show, like, John Connor sending back the T-800 and things like that. We were going to get to see that eventually, but we never got the sequel to Salvation.
Yeah.
Instead, they made Genesis, which I'm still trying to figure out what the hell that was. And I actually own a copy of Genesis, but it's more just a completion type thing. So I have all the movies. You know, it's not really like I'm ever going to watch it. You know,
yeah.
I think I tried to watch it a second time once, and I couldn't. Like, no, I just can't do it.
John Connor is a Terminator, and he's like, "Join me, Mom and Dad. We can be a Terminator family."
Yeah, that was bizarre. I remember Emilia Clarke's in it. That's right. That's about all I remember
from it. Yeah, Emilia Clarke, which I didn't think she was a bad Sarah Connor.
No.
You know?
That's right. She plays Sarah.
And Sarah Connor was going to be in this storyline, but, you know.
Well, the first draft of the script. Yeah.
And
they rewrote the script.
Yeah. And, crap, I can't think of. Linda Hamilton was going to reprise the role, but. She didn't like the script. She didn't like the script.
And then in the movie producers also felt that Sarah Connor was overplayed. They were like, well, you know, maybe she's overplayed. Let's redo it. So they rewrote the script. You know, Terminator Man, it's such a great fucking concept. One of the great science fiction concepts of Hollywood history.
Oh, definitely.
But it's unfortunate that it hasn't had the overall success continuity wise throughout its films and things that it deserved, you know? And there's been some recent talk about possibly rebooting the Terminator franchise, which, you know, if it's done right, I could see that being successful, but let's not tell the same stories, you know, let's tell stories that take place in this universe and have a continuity to them.
A legacy sequel.
Yeah. But you're never going to reach the classic that the first two are. Now I did enjoy the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I thought that was a good TV show version.
I liked that.
It's actually really well done. Unfortunately it was on Fox, so it didn't make it past two seasons. There's been numerous Terminator video games that have told different stories and things out. In fact, there was one just out a couple years ago, Terminator Resistance, I think, on PS4 and Xbox. I actually wanted to play that. Mm-hmm. It got good reviews.
It's a multiplayer RPG.
The Terminator.
I think if you were to follow up and do a legacy sequel, you would have to make it kind of like how Dark Fate made it, where you changed the fate.
Well, Dark Fate was intended to be a legacy sequel.
Yeah, man, I think it could have been so much better. I just, you know, I feel like Dark Fate, it just it didn't. It lost me whenever it showed the reason why the female was or became the leader of the resistance. It's like basically the humans are fighting kind of like they are in Salvation, because just like in a zombie apocalypse, a robot apocalypse is the same thing. You know, they're battling each other, you know, and she just, I guess it worked just to go out there and say, well, why are you fighting each other? We should be fighting them. And then they're like, whoa, you know, you're right. Why are we fighting? We should be fighting them. And then she's like, with your powers combined, I'm the leader of the resistance. Ho! and that's how it happened. And I was like, you know, I don't know how John Connor became the leader of the resistance. I know we basically get it in this film, but you know, beforehand, he just you left it at that. It, you know, if it was just a little bit more simpler, I think it would have made it a little less silly, in that aspect, but everything else was great. Carl, Sarah Connor coming back, the Rev 9, that was cool. I thought the Terminator was badass in Terminator Dark Fate, and Arnold even trained him on how to, lift, to look like a Terminator and how to act, how to be a Terminator. So it was, I think everything was done right for the most part.
This is interesting. On IMDb, they have Terminator 3 at 6.3, Terminator Salvation at 6.5, Genesis at 6.3, and Dark Fate at 6.2. That just tells me people don't know how to rate movies.
Yeah, I know.
Because Dark Fate is, was pretty solid overall compared to Genesis.
I agree.
Yeah, people just don't have a clue.
Oh, forgot. Lance Hendrickson was supposed to come back and reprise his role as the police lieutenant in this film. And he didn't. He decided to turn it down, I guess. But he was going to be in a wheelchair, basically showing how he, you know, was rendered after the events of the first Terminator film. The gas station in the movie where Arnold gets the he takes off with the Toyota, mm-hmm. Is the same gas station that we see in the first two Terminator films. So I like how they did try and keep continuity with this film. So some cool stuff went into it. It just fell short, just fell a little short. Yeah. But it's still a decent action film. If you're irked, if you have the itch to watch this film, you're going to get some good action scenes out of it. That's for damn sure. And Arnold's ass. There you go.
Yeah. Only Matt would remember
that. The ass of the governator, baby, because he was the governor after this.
That's right. It was his last movie before he became the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little break. And he hasn't really recovered since, as far as movies go. I mean, he's done some films since, but nothing super successful.
His post-gubernational career is, I don't know if I can find a really, really good movie. Yeah. Well,
Maggie's okay.
Maggie.
Dark Fate's good. There's been a couple of them. They're all right. But nothing.
I like that post-credit scene from Killing Gunther. That was hilarious, where he's a country singer.
No, I didn't see that one.
That was weird.
So, you know.
And I'll send it to you later. It's
he's
funny.
Still banking on making a King Conan movie, I guess.
Yeah. We'll see if that ever happens.
But Terminator 3, Rise of Machines. Watch it if you've never seen it, I guess, if you're a Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah, got the...
So next week, we're going to... we kind of decided this week. We're going to back up the other movies we're doing a week, and we want to we're going to be therapeutic next week. We're going to go through self therapy together in closure of what was the Snyderverse in the DC universe.
Yes.
A universe that I really thought could be saved, and I really was enjoying. But now James Gunn has came in and said, "Fuck you! I'm redoing everything." But thanks, James Gunn. So we're going to talk next week the 4-hour. Director's cut, officially called Zack Snyder's Justice League.
The bell's been rung. But in the dark.
Dream. Almost like a premonition.
Like there's an attack coming.
My lord, this world will fall.
I need warriors. I'm building an alliance to defend ourselves.
How do you know your team's strong enough? If you can't bring down the charging bull and don't wave the red cape at it,
you were sent here for a reason. And even if it takes you the rest of your life, find out what that reason is.
Said the age of heroes would never come again.
It will. It has to.
We live in a society where honor is a distant memory. Isn't that right? Batman.
It's on HBO Max, of course. It premiered on HBO Max, one of the more famous big streaming premieres during the COVID era. Is it premiered on HBO Max a couple years ago? And we'll get into how the campaign happened to make this movie happen. We'll get into why this wasn't the theatrical version originally due to Zack Snyder's daughter's suicide and things like that. We're going to really dive deep into this movie next week. And I actually like this movie a lot. It might be one of my top five favorite superhero movies. I really think the Snyder Cut is incredibly good. Much better than the trash that was the theatrical version. Mm-hmm. In fact, Matt, I started watching already tonight since it's 4 hours. I just watched it over holidays. But I started watching it tonight just to watch it again. I got about 2 hours into it tonight and I love it, man. I think it's a really well done director's cut and what could have been in the future of the Snyderverse, but not meant to be. And I know you watched it at least once since it came out, but you haven't revisited it
since. Yeah, I haven't revisited it since, but I did watch it once.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
So definitely it's better than the Whedon one.
Oh, yeah. It's remarkable how much of a better version it is of the film. And it is long. It's 4 hours. But, you know, if for a four-hour movie, it flows really well, actually. It's really well done. And it's told in parts. There's like six parts, so it's easy to watch it a little bit at a time and take your time with it. And we'll talk Zack Snyder's Justice League next week on the show and mourn together in the loss of this Snyderverse.
Yeah,
a bit disappointing, but we'll discuss all that next week. But until then, you know, the RebelRadioPodcast.com is where you can find all your Rebel Radio needs. We're on multiple apps now to watch the show and some of those apps like Spotify and iTunes. Man, if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star quick review, it helps us out in algorithms and things like that. Join our Facebook group to keep up with the latest of the show. And we appreciate you as always listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod. And this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And until next week, remember as always, just go there and
do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.